When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome back to The Ruck. This is a very special edition of the Times and Sun-Times Rugby Podcast. I am delighted to say that I'm here with Rob Horn. Delighted is a peculiar word to use here because we are here in adverse, peculiar circumstances. This podcast is being recorded in the away dressing room at Twickenham Stadium. Rob Horn is an Australian rugby international. How many caps? How many Wallaby caps, Rob?
34 odd, I think.
Yeah, and 30, one of the very last of those would have been here when the Australia team knocked England out of the World Cup.
Yeah, can I talk about that?
I'm sure very happy memories for you there.
We are doing this in the away change room, so I feel pretty comfortable in here. I know the surrounds.
Happy days. I'm sure everyone would be delighted to hear that. So we're back here again today on vastly different circumstances. The regular Premiership League fixture for this weekend, Northampton Saints versus Leicester, would normally be being held at Franklin's Gardens. It's been moved to Twickenham this weekend for the game that's going to be played in your name, hopefully to try and raise some money to help you and your family, because your living from rugby was taken away from you in the flash of nothing on the 14th of April towards the end of last season. Can we just start by sort of going back there and retreading that painful, awful moment to explain to listeners what exactly happened to you?
Yeah, if you'd like.
Sorry, I don't like, but no, I think people have to understand what happened, because it was awful and it was his part of rugby.
I mean, it's just one of those things. It's not a rugby injury, you know. It's a life changing injury. So it's, yeah. So what happened? You know, a pretty regular tackle, and unfortunately, through a combination of things, I've suffered a brachial plexus injury, meaning I've detached the nerves that from my spinal cord that allow my arm to function, hand, fingers to function. So, yeah, it's resulted in paralysis of my right arm. I wouldn't say it's a rugby injury, so probably more a life-changing injury.
Sure, because it's in rugby union, I don't think there are any other examples of this that we know of.
It's funny. I've been in a few people have been in contact with me, the amateur players that have suffered this injury, and I know the rugby league player in Australia, he suffered this a few years back, and also an under-20s rugby league player also suffered this injury. But I mean, all of these types of injuries they're all unique in themselves and intricate and have their own subtleties, so that none are exactly the same, and everyone, I suppose, has a different journey.
And so that day, 14th of April, was it your first day as captain for Saints?
It was, yeah.
So you joined Saints last season. It was your first season. You were captaining that day, away game at Welford Road, and this incident happened early on in the game, didn't it? Right at the beginning. Was it your first game action?
So it's this game, Northampton Leicester, holds a unique place in my rugby memories in the fact that I made my debut for Northampton at Franklin's Gardens in the derby against Leicester. And
so you picked up pretty quickly what that derby was all about.
Yeah, it was great. Couldn't ask for a better introduction to what it meant to Northampton supporters and players and past players. And that's a real special memory for me, running out there at the Gardens and to play against Tigers in my first game for the club. And then, you know, to come full circle, ultimately it was my last game away up the road at Welford Road. And it holds a unique place in my rugby memories. And the fact that the game is, you know, here at Twickenham, which is, one of the great venues, you know, an iconic venue in world rugby, it's testament to the size that this derby is and to the esteem that the derby's held in.
Can we go back to the day, the incident, if you like? I know you said that you haven't watched it. You won't bring yourself to watch it. And that's probably a sensible thing to do. But it was right at the start of the game. You put a tackle in on the big Leicester number 8, Callum Mahoney. The pictures then showed you on the ground. And you thought you'd just dislocated your shoulder, correct?
It was a big collision, and I felt like I was, you know, jolted, and then it took me a period of time, and with the medical support staff around me, and then I was sort of just saying, I think I've dislocated my shoulder here. You know, I'll need to get that back in, and but then in time, I suppose, was the care that and medical staff that were immediately there provided, you know, outstanding response. And
so, and what were you finding? Because was your right leg not working at that
time?
Yeah,
so my whole right side of my body had been jolted, and I couldn't move my right leg, and then I got that moving just through just sheer belligerence, just kicking it, and got it moving. And and then I just sort of, I thought that I couldn't move my right arm, and I just felt like it's probably dislocated, and I'd need that to get put back in. And I felt like that was just one of those things, and a little bit embarrassed too, you know. I'm leading my team out in an important game, and off the kickoff I'm you know, out of the game, and that's sort of where I was at. But then it wasn't until I got to the hospital, and then the specialist, I suppose it wasn't what they were saying, but more their body language and demeanour towards me, lent that something more serious had happened.
So you went through a pretty torrid few days at that time. How long was it until you had that awful moment, I guess, when a surgeon is sitting down explaining to you, actually, it's not dislocated and you're never going to get any use of your arm again?
It was a few days. It was... So there's a lot of uncertainty. There was the assessments and scans and everything. They're all pretty inconclusive, and there was no definitive answers. So once I got down to the specialist down in London, and they were pretty optimistic as well. But then I had an operation just to have a look, and when they opened up and had a look, it was pretty clear cut, and it was cut and dry that I'd attached all 5 nerves, and that's in this case is the sort of the worst scenario. So in saying that, hearing the worst news off the bat means that I had time to process straight away. You know, there wasn't any false hope or anything like that, but there was I've adopted an approach of sort of positive realism. So you'd be real about it, but you certainly keep a positive outlook as well.
I hate to pick over it, but I just trying to come to terms, trying to understand what it was like for you to come to terms with that. I mean, how did you tell your teammates? Did you go back and tell them, or did you get the message back to them, or?
Yeah, well,
because your life was changed, and from this tiny world of rugby, your rugby career was over.
Yeah, So, I mean, a lot of the guys came to visit me in the hospital in Leicester, and then down in London. So that I sort of always had someone there from my teammates, and someone was always stopping by, and that was a great lift. So at that, really initial difficult period of time where there's a lot of uncertainty. I suppose a real uncertain time, but with it wasn't until we got the definitive results and outcome that we got word back to the boys and then to the club to release a statement just to let the wider rugby community know what's actually happened, because I suppose it was pretty quiet for a while there and no one really knew, and it's because we didn't really know. And then once we were comfortable with what had happened, then we sort of let it out.
So you've had the 5+ months since then trying to work out what next, how you live with, as you say, you're learning to live with paralysis, how you live with that, what you're going to do next. And I think you're still suffering the pain from it.
What's involved with this type of nerve injury, there's a paralysis but also the chronic pain, and that's something that you build your capacity and your it's amazing that what's the human body and especially the brain can do. And
pain is still effectively there,
but it's there, but it's the way the human body can cope increases, and the capacity to deal with it and to still get on with life and achieve the things you want to achieve is still there. So it's pretty remarkable that the insight you get through something as significant as this can do.
What about just the minutiae of only having one hand, one arm? What are the little things that get on your nerves, like doing up your shirt buttons or trying to make a cup of tea? Or, I mean, just, we have to drill right down, things are very, very different for you.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't changed a nappy in 5 months, so that's a win.
how many little ones are there?
I've got two. Our toddler's almost three, and then a one-year-old. So, you just become, at first, everything's pretty slow, but then you just become more efficient the more you do it. The better you are at it. So, and that's been my approach.
I mean, maybe this is a stupid question, I don't know, but because you're an athlete and because we love sports, etc., cliche, but I was wondering, what next? Would you want to be using your left arm to try and play other sports for fun, etc.? And what's your position on that at the moment?
Yeah, I think I'll be a pretty ordinary left-handed golfer and tennis player, and I was playing around with my daughter the other day, playing pretend table tennis, and even my pretend table tennis left hand was pretty ordinary. So, I'll certainly throw my hand, so to speak, at everything.
Are you able to feel athletic? Go for a run, and I go to the gym. I'm not sure where you are in that part of your recovery yet.
Being a recently retired athlete, having been in gyms and running around fields for every day for 10 plus years, it's hasn't been a top of my priority list.
Fair enough.
I have gone for a couple runs, and quickly realized that, hang on, I've been doing this a long time, just I might to have a rest.
You've been based back in your hometown Sydney for 2-3 months now.
2 months, I think. Yeah.
I suppose I'm looking for happy answers here, because we all want to know that there's a happy ending, but that's far too cute to be true, I suppose. But
of course there's a happy ending. There's always a happy ending. I think how you approach life is there's no ending. It's your life's life, and everyone goes through different things, and it's depending on your context, it's your that's your challenge, and this is my challenge. And it's, yes, it's difficult, and yes, it's not something that I plan for, but I'm determined to live the life that I was going to live, and if not greater.
Well, that's fantastic. Here, good for you. Do you know what that might mean, though? I mean, do you have ambitions sort of within sport, business, any other sort of walk of life?
I'm still, I suppose, finding my feet a bit and working out in the initial stages what I'm doing in my next chapter. But I've got a little bit of study to finish off, and once that's done, and I've got going through interview process and stuff like that. That's all a bit different. That's a different world to rugby. I can tell you that, because you're in the rugby world, your CV's out there on a Saturday, but not having to sell yourself one-on-one's a bit different.
Well, good luck on that. I just am wondering, back in Sydney, you're not playing rugby, but you're still part of the rugby family. I get that strong impression. Have you been watching the Wallabies play recently, for instance? You know, do you feel part of that as well?
Yeah, as you know, when you're a former player, you're part of that fraternity, and you still follow the teams, you still follow your mates, and you know, I've got a lot of close mates playing, and you just really just want to see them go well. And I know that for the Wallabies, for instance, they're in Argentina at the moment, so it's they've got a big test match this weekend. So it's it's such a tight knit community, and everyone sort of follows everyone else, because we love the game and everything that comes with it.
I think you've already told us the answer, but you don't feel sore. You don't sound sore. You don't feel sore about what happened to you, as in rugby's a pretty tough game, and you're very unlucky, but you don't feel sore about the fact that the sport that you love did this to you.
Yeah, no, it's it's a contact sport, it's a collision sport, and I loved that part of the game. I thrived with that part of the game. That was what I really enjoyed, and that was something that drew me to from a very young age. I loved the contact, and I was probably a bit undersized for how I played the game, but that's you play to your strengths and your gifts. If you're a big man, that's your thing. If you're a little guy, you're a little guy, and that's the beauty of our game, that it provides different shapes and sizes, all different things. But I in no way feel any bitterness at all towards the game, because it's given me so much. It's given me so many life experiences and so many great memories. And the person I am today is shaped by the game, because I came in as a impressionable 18-year-old, played my first game, professional game at 18, and not only how to play the game, but a lot of life's traits from the men I played with.
When you look back, are there great days? What are the highlights that sort of jump out at you?
Yeah, it's funny that I'm now a retired player, so I get to look back, because when you're playing, you don't look back. You just play, and you can't afford to look back. You've got to look forward. So there's plenty of great memories. Winning Super Rugby with New South Wales was an incredible ride. It was a great journey. Even though we didn't get the result we're after in 2015 World Cup, just that journey that was pretty special. And so playing two World Cups, and a Lions series, playing 100 plus times for New South Wales, and then obviously debuting for Australia is special. And my time at Northampton is a very special time in my career, and I'm really proud of playing for Northampton, and that debut in that derby game is a very fond memory.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
At what point did you get a call from Mark Darbin, the Northampton Saints chief executive, saying we're thinking of moving our derby game with Leicester to Twickenham? When did this sort of reach you?
So I think them knowing what I'm like, they were pretty tactful about it.
What do you mean by that?
Yeah, there was no way that I was, gonna go ahead with it. There was no chance that I'd want to do that, because I'm not, I suppose, having not been exposed much to the testimonial type thing, it's pretty foreign to me, being from Australia and the Southern Hemisphere. It's not something that's done.
Are you suggesting you sort of don't like the idea of lots of people making a fuss over you, or is that it? Or
yeah, I mean, there's a bit of that, but it's a real foreign concept, the fact that you have to, when you learn more about it, and which I've had more exposure to it over here, that you have to be awarded this game. You have to have, if you've spent 10 years at a club, it's reward for you, and it's a testament to your loyalty to a club. And the fact that I've had my name alongside what is a huge game in the calendar for the club, regardless. It's really humbling, and for me, I sort of see it more as the biggest game of the year for Northampton supporters and Northampton community, being on the biggest stage.
And so did you kick up a fuss? Did you put up an argument saying you can't do this for me? Or
I don't kick up a fuss, but it took a little bit of coercing, and but in the end, I totally appreciate and totally understand and get the supporters to be able to come out and show appreciation and to be part of something bigger.
Brilliant. And so we're talking about the game on Saturday, 3 o'clock kickoff, Twickenham, Northampton Saints against Leicester. So you flew in for the game this morning. We're talking Tuesday morning now, and your wife's arriving
back end of the week, I think Friday. We're just still working it out with the two kids. We've done that journey a couple of times, and the long haul 24-hour is pretty brutal. So it's touch and go at the moment. We'll see.
And then, and so the big game on Saturday. Have you worked out where you're going to sit? Are you going to sit where Eddie Jones and Michael Checker would normally sit, or yeah. Royal Box?
I might break a window. Can we do that?
But what do you think that'll be like for you? I mean, a weirdly emotional occasion, I would have thought.
Until the day, I won't know. Really, I won't know what I'll feel, but. I am looking forward to watching my teammates and my club go out there and go out and play well.
You arrived from Australia this morning. You haven't had a chance to go back up to Northampton yet. Will you get that opportunity between now and then?
Yeah, I'll head up there during the week and catch up with everyone and certainly have a few coffees, I think, fight the jet lag.
You think your old teammates are on the way up?
Yeah, I'm I'm certainly encouraged by what I've seen, and I think you can.
Have you been watching? I mean, do you get? Have you had a chance to watch much?
Yeah, I've kept tabs, and you can certainly see a different style and structure that they're putting in place, and that's going to take time. And but the thing is, they've got the players, they've got the ability to do that, and and big stages, bring out the best in the best players. So I'm looking forward to the team playing well on Saturday.
So it would be easy to suggest that Leicester aren't having too good a run at the moment, and therefore this game is in Northampton's pocket. But as you say, you played in these derbies, and they're not quite simple like that, are they?
No, it's derbies are different. They're a different, have a different feel. They've got a different build up. It's it means a lot to everyone around and in the community, and having experience, like I said previously, my unique experience in that I debuted in a derby at Franklin's Gardens, and then my last game was in the derby at Welford Road, and the passion and the true passion that the supporters and communities feel for this game, and the players and past players, it means a lot.
Would it compare to other games between Australian Super Rugby teams or other derby fixtures that you've played in? Has that sort of a feel, does it?
Yeah, so throughout my career, I love derbies because they are a different type of game. I loved playing in derbies for New South Wales in Super Rugby against Queensland and against the Brumbies, and and that's why I was. I was pretty happy that I got to debut in a derby for Northampton against Leicester and see what that East Midlands derby is all about, because it didn't disappoint and it doesn't.
Mm-hmm. Just a few quick ones. First of all, your prediction for the game, Northampton by how many points?
13 plus.
Yeah. Very good. And from your time in England, any players particularly caught your eye, particularly impressed you?
Definitely. I love some of the guys, Northampton with Tom Collins.
He played in Australia for a bit, didn't he?
He did. He was there for a little stint.
Ranwick boy.
Yeah. The Ranwick Mafia. They're everywhere. So Tom Collins. Yeah. I'm a big supporter of his. Lewis Ludlam as well. Young back rower for Saints. He's got a big future. So yeah, there's a lot of talent, and I'm keen to see Saints go well.
Would just repeat again the deal for Saturday, because I'd encourage any fans, Saints, Tigers, and any fans in rugby anywhere to come along to watch. At the moment, I think there's 35,000 plus tickets that have been sold, expecting quite a lot more than that, so it's going to be one hell of an occasion. 3 o'clock on Saturday, please come to the game. It will be a great occasion. Details for the tickets for the derby at Twickenham Stadium, in aid of Rob Horner, on sale at northamptonsaints.co.uk/buy-tickets. So please do that. Rob, thanks so much for coming and talking to The Ruck. It's been brilliant to talk to you, and you make a real impression on someone like myself when you tell your story, because it's desperate and it's amazing to hear you talk about yourself and what you're going through like that. When you back off home after that?
Pretty well after, so looking at Sunday. Head off, so it's a quick visit, see as many people as I can, and enjoy a big game.
But now it's your game, you've got to come back for every East Midlands derby, haven't you?
yeah.
Okay, well listen, I hope you do. Thank you very much for appearing on The Ruck for this special edition. Good luck in everything to you in the future.
Thank you, cheers.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Manveen Rana from The Story, a daily news podcast from The Times. Join me and my co-host, Luke Jones, for a deep dive into the big stories and investigations. Plus, each month, William Hague hosts an agenda-setting interview with a key newsmaker or big thinker. That's The Story, The Times' daily podcast that brings you one remarkable story told in depth. Listen every weekday on The Times Radio app or wherever you get your podcasts.